Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. Venerable Tom Dorrian.
Hello.
Has presented himself before us.
Thank you, sir.
I'm so glad you're here.
Thanks for having me.
And of course, we got Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
And I'm so glad, and people don't know what your real name is.
I tell them
it's Ziggy. No, it's not. It's Ziggy.
Yes, that's right. I was baptized under Ziggy.
Yes, exactly right.
Your patron
saint. Ziggy, little-known saint.
My full name was Zigzag, you know.
Yes, that's right.
Zigzag.
It's a good description of the journey I had prior to...
I think it's actually
still on that zigzag, baby.
Yes. So we're going to talk about weeds and wheat today because...
Can we give a shout-out real quickly?
Yeah, let's do that.
Remember Mary? I just met Mary. I can't remember Mary's last name. She's good buds with you. She's a freak for this show.
You know about Mary Matthews?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, Mary and Wayne.
Yeah.
I did marriage prep for them.
Yeah.
Spent some time with her. Hi, Mary.
Yeah. She loves the show.
Wayne's not listening.
She loves the show. She loves it so much. It's like way over the top.
We have to
give her a shout out.
Well, I'm so glad she's listening. All of our faithful and loyal listeners, we love you all.
Yeah.
So we're so glad that you do that.
I interrupted. I'm sorry.
No, you're okay because you were getting us down into the weeds.
Yes, I was.
Let's talk about the wheat now.
Oh, that's nice. Now, well played.
So I we've heard the parable. So on the 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time in Year A, we've got the parable of the weeds and the wheat, It comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew in the 13th chapter. And there's a long form and a short form. And, it's like very common. We've all heard of it. Now, this is not the sower and the seeds. This is the weeds growing with the wheat. I'll just read through it. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd. By the way, parable. So parables, a lot of people don't realize where the word parable come from.
Okay.
That's not right. That's not correct.
I'm just kidding.
We don't speak error here on the Catholic Cafe. We only speak truth. And so factually, where the word parable comes from, as it was a story that was told by Jesus, it starts, a man had a pair of bulls. And then the rest is history. All right. Sorry about that. So Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. His slaves said to him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? He replied, No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the seeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn. First collect the weeds. Right. He proposed another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. We've heard that one before. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. We heard about that one before. Then it goes on and says this. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world. Then he goes off. They go out and behind the scenes and Jesus explains because they say, Master, what does this mean? We don't understand this. And he explains it all to them. So it's a longer reading. The most important part I wanted to kind of talk about was the weeds and the wheat. And of course, the parable, the whole idea. Like why Jesus would speak in parables, not just to fulfill. Certainly says he did it only in parables to fulfill what the prophets had said, you know, that he would come speaking parables. But I think also it's practical because they're all mostly agrarian. And there's not going to be many high schools, you know. There's not going to be colleges around there. There's not many learned people, you know. Not a lot of book learning because there's not a lot of books, you know. So just not a lot of education going on. And so in when you speak in practical, these parables are like stories that they can understand. So truth is told through these stories that make sense to them. And after reading a little bit about the parable of the weeds and the wheat, I come to find out that that back in 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, where they grew wheat, there is still today a weed called darnel. I don't know if you've ever heard of darnel before. It's not the guy that lives down the street. Darnell, get inside this house right now, down south. It's not Darnell, but it's called Darnell, D-A-R-N-E-L. I didn't know anything about Darnell, but I looked it up. Darnell is a weed that grows with wheat.
Looks and it's just like it.
Yeah, it's basically a mimic. Mm-hmm. And so the early stages of wheat and the early stages of Darnell are almost exactly the same. And so Darnell grows, but Darnell is poisonous. In a large enough quantity, it will kill a human, right? But at the very least, it will make you sick, make you dizzy, ill, whatever. But it's a mimic. It's one of nature's mimics. So as it's growing with the wheat, these local agrarian people, farmers, they'd all know well about there's wheat. And then there's this weed that grows with it that is not, that you have to wait until the end. Because when it matures, then you can see the difference because it doesn't have the grains of like wheat does. Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to have that. So you separate it at the end. It's an extra process. It's kind of a pain, but it's a mimic. Now, I was fascinated by all this because in my mind, what is that parable teaching us? You know, that there's bad and there's evil mixed in with the good. Right, there's didn't come from God, it comes from the devil. It's sown by the enemy. And so the Son of Man, Jesus says later in that scripture, he'll say the Son of Man is the one that sows good seed. So the word that comes forth from the mouth of God. So what Jesus says, what he teaches, what he professes to be true, that's all good. But then the devil comes and wants to mess it up. And so he's got this weed that looks just like the wheat. That would tempt you and make you think that it's something good. And I started thinking, like, that's the world that we live in right now. Mm-hmm. All the things that, you know, there's a lot of people that are doing a lot of bad things, and I don't think those people realize just how bad they are, the things are, and how they've gone astray, and they basically have fallen for the mimic. They have fallen for that which looks good. It looks like it's supposed to be good. Isn't this person perfectly good? Isn't it the same? We're all doing good stuff here. It's like, no, that's a poison. You're taking part in a poison, and you're not discerning the goodness of the wheat, right, that God has planted and prepared and given to us to fortify us, but also to sustain us. And we fall for this wheat in the world, or the weeds in the world, and then we basically get swallowed up and eaten by the weeds, and that's really a bad thing. And it makes me think that, because I also saw a parallel to this, and we all know the name of the devil in the fallen angel that becomes the devil, that is the devil from the beginning of creation. And that's, we hear the great Satan, but his name is Lucifer, the angel Lucifer. And if you look at the name Lucifer, what does it literally mean? It means light bearer. Yeah, bringer of light. And so it's like, stop, wait. So what you're saying to me is the devil is a bringer of light? No, this is like a mimic again.
He's the Darnell of light.
He's the Darnell. He's the Darnell of the spirit world. He appears as wheat. He appears good. So he comes to you and he whispers in your ear and says, you know, this would feel good. This is a good way to go. This is what really, if you want to be more like God, if you want to be God-like, if you want to have all these powers, if you want everything that you want, you can have. I can give it to you. He's the bringer of, I'll just put air quotes around light, because it's not actually light. It's a mimic of light. And so he is the Darnell, and he tempts people because he tries to look just like the good, but he's not the good. And that's why I think this parable is so powerful, because it's not just about like, oh man, now we got to go and sift through all this harvest and try to figure out. Because it also speaks to the harvest at the end of time, that all of us will be sifted like wheat. All of us will be in the harvest, all of us in the great judgment, God is going to go through, and all of that which is actually wheat will be gathered in the barn, and all that is not wheat, which is weeds, which is darnel, which is mimic, which is poison, because we've consumed so much poison, all that has fallen to the weeds will be gathered up and burned as chaff. And that's a bad thing. And so this is like, to me, very eye-opening about the world that we live in today.
Oh, sure, yeah. And I'm reminded, I think it was the prophet Joel talks about how the day will come where good will be called evil and evil will be called good.
Yeah.
Right? And I think we're living in that time. And if we look at people, you know, like the newest movement within Satanism, because there's been different movements, you know, before it was like sort of magic and witchcraft oriented, and then there was a period
they would wear all the big robes and have the candles and all that kind of stuff to make it look like a religious service.
Right, and then in the period of the 70s, you had sort of the hedonistic, atheistic side of it. But now, with this group Temple of Satan, not to give them undue attention, but if you read what they, and I'm not recommending that that you go to their website or read this stuff, because, you know, it's good to kind of stay clear of all of that.
Leave it to those who zigzag,
who
are able to duck and
cover
when it's appropriate.
But what their messaging is that they're there to reach out to the people who have been hurt by the church, marginalized by the church, you know, and so they point to a lot of social issues that are associated commonly with wokeism, right? And saying these people were hurt by the church, and we're here to bring them in, and you know, but they're bringing them in around a statue of a demon, and are saying hail blank, you know, and you know, they will identify themselves as a political movement. They'll say, you know, it's not really religious, it's more political movement, and they do lawsuits of saying, well, if you're going to have the Ten Commandments, we're going to have the statue of this demon, you know, instead, or right next to it, and citing constitutional law as the basis for it.
Again, that's darnel.
Right, exactly. Right? These people are convinced.
You get yours, we get ours, right? Everybody gets one, and we're all happy. We coexist.
Yes, they're convinced that this is what they're actually doing is good. You know, and it's funny because St. Thomas Aquinas, he teaches, you know, human beings were created to pursue the good. And generally speaking, when people pursue evil, they're pursuing evil under the aspect of the good. It's not that they're saying actively, I'm just really hungry for evil. It's more they're confused about what is good and are pursuing pursuing that which is evil, convincing themselves that they're actually pursuing a good.
Yeah,
and this lines up perfectly with what you're describing with the darnel.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you talk about, like, one of the things I was kind of starting to get to, and as I was talking, is like, I don't think all these people are all bad, right?
No,
I think
that
people do things for good reasons. They think they're doing good, and so I would say I worry about the, like, I don't know, the gullible, the followers, the ones who are just like, well, this is just like everything else, isn't it? Right? And so there are people, I think, that are bad, that know that it is a religion, that it's an irreligion, that it's an anti-religion, that it's against all that is good and holy, right? There are people, it's kind of like people that fall for certain things, like, well, maybe Freemasonry. You know, at certain levels, you on the outside, it's like, well, aren't these a bunch of kind of like guys with little fez hats and have a little group together, and they have a dinner on Tuesday nights, and then they get in the big parades, and they drive the little clown cars, and they get out, and, you know, whatever, or they have a big circus, or they help kids you know, burn victims or whatever, and they're doing good things. But as you get further and further into the secret society, you get further and further into the ranks, you start realizing that you're basically you're worshiping an antichrist figure. You're worshiping that which is not good and holy. And so it's like it starts as this, you know, plea for all who have in their hearts, the law of God is written on your hearts, and you desire good. So a lot of people are, they just, They desire good. We do good things. We're good. We're do-gooders, mm-hmm. right? We do good deeds. And yet what you don't realize is those are just like, that's Darnell. That is like it's mimicking which is good. But when it starts to count, when it matures, now it's poison.
I feel so bad if we have any listener named Darnell.
Yeah, poor Darnell. I am so sorry to all the Darnells who happen to be listening right now. Send me an email and I will issue you a personal apology.
I'm willing to make a wager we don't.
We don't have a Darnell?
No.
I don't know. You never know, though. You never know.
I
certainly don't think we have a poisonous mimic, yeah. you know, out there. Because if you're listening to Catholic Cafe, you're at least listening to something that's good. I promise you, this one is not Luciferian. It is not. We bring the right light to all that is to all that's holy. You know, there's also other ways to look at this particular reading. You know, we love our Protestant brothers and sisters.
Sure.
You know, here the separated brothers and sisters in Christ, but also we see there are errors in Protestant theology. Where it does not align with Catholic theology at all. So it's not like everybody's just happily going along their merry way and doesn't mean that Protestants are going to hell either. It means that there is truth. There is some shared truth between Protestantism and Catholicism, but there are also differences.
Well, sure. So when I read this parable, something that comes to mind is there was a time in my college days where I was studying the writings of Luther, in the Protestant Reformation in college, and studying the writings of Martin Luther. And there was a big emphasis in some of his writings on, hey, you know, we're the Church of the Elect. You know, and the Catholic Church, they've got a mix of some good and bad people, but we're the Church of the Elect. We're the Church of the Clean, you know, and they wanted to kind of carve themselves out.
That's right, and that's all the part about the imputed righteousness and being his view, the dung covered by snow, right?
Yes.
So we're all elect and chosen. In other words, this is part of that once saved, always saved
yes.
theology that develops out of this, which is we're going to heaven, and you can know you're going to go to heaven.
Right, exactly. And it's funny, though, because like before we're turning to the parable, I remember speaking to somebody here in Memphis. We had there's a major Baptist church, the Bellevue Baptist Church. There's a couple of major Baptist churches in Memphis, Tennessee. But
yeah.
Bellevue was under Adrian Rogers, and he was fairly famous as a Baptist preacher in the Southern Baptist tradition. And a friend of mine spoke to him during the heyday and asked, "Hey, how many people here are actually like saved?" And he said about 10 to 15%, which is mind blowing because they
that
create the image of, you know, of this is everyone here is saved or about to be saved.
And
right?
I imagine if he actually said that, and I know this wasn't like a public conversation.
No, it was a heart to heart. It was a private heart to heart conversation.
And I would imagine that he maybe lamented.
Oh, I'm
that
sure.
number. I don't think he was like going, "Oh, there's only 15%."
Yeah.
But I also imagine he probably didn't want to have that bumper sticker out there that said "once saved, always saved." It's easy. Just say these words.
Right. Well, and that number of 10 to 15% kind of lines up with stuff that, you know, there's been demographic studies of the Catholic Church of what percentage of any given parish is actually active,
very active, doing
volunteering. It's about 10 to 15%, you know, give or take.
Yeah.
But the reason I share all this is, if you look at the parable, what does it paint the picture of the church being? It paints the picture of the church being a church where the weeds and the wheat grow together until the end of time. So what does that mean? It means you don't have, like, there is no such thing of, oh, this is the Church of the Elect. The only Church of the Elect that we're going to have is on the other side of eternity. You know, you've got the church triumphant,
yeah.
you know, sure, yes, right? But in terms of like the church militant having the squeaky clean soul, infantry, like, no, I mean, it's you're going to have the weeds and the wheat growing together. It's not until the end of time that they are separated out. And I think that also points to the universality of the church, that the church is going to be, you know, proclaiming the word of God to the world. The enemy is going to be sowing the seeds. The weeds and the wheat will grow together, right? And I think so. The universality of the church of course, another word for universal is Catholic, right? Yeah. And so I think that it just, this parable is a very powerful sort of counterpoison, I guess you could say, to some of the misunderstandings.
Antidote.
There you go. That to some of the misunderstandings that arose with writings from people like Martin Luther.
That's why you shouldn't stray from the church. I mean, This is why you don't leave the church. Don't leave the safety of the boat, the bark of Peter. You know, you were mentioning the elect and where that comes from, that concept. The worry here is that people who might perceive themselves as a member of an elect group, like, in other words, don't judge before the judgment, mm-hmm. right? Don't say, I'm in. I'm definitely in. This is the problem with the once saved, always saved problem. Because, you know, with that theology, there are so many scriptures that speak specifically about, you know, like, well, St. Paul talking about working out of salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
About people, like in Hebrews, where it's talking about like being in seeing the light and then getting entangled in the weeds, right? And so this, like, there's several notions in Scripture that basically go directly against once saved, always saved, and the idea that there is an elect, there's a group of people that are chosen, and that they are, no matter what happens, they're not going to lose salvation. Because that also cuts directly against the concept of free will, of free love, of choosing God, to loving him freely of your own free will, which is what he desires, right? And why it's necessary that up until the moment you die, you can reject God, right? And that's the worry. So, you know, some people might look in the mirror and go like, well, I know I'm going to heaven. And I've heard that so many times. In the Deep South, we hear that a lot. Mm-hmm. We hear that from people who... you know, I don't know about you, but I know. And I've always thought, like, if I ever said that, I'd be thinking to my... Because I can't judge other people and why they would say that. But I can say that if I said it, it'd be me trying to convince myself that it's true. Right? And I don't have faith that I can say it that way. And a lot of people say, like, see, this is what's wrong with being Catholic. Right? You wouldn't you like to know? It's like, yeah, I would like to know. But you can't know... because of the weeds that are growing amongst us, and I might be a weed. And so I always strive towards the good, towards, you know, discerning that which is holy and that which is good, and following the ways of the church that was established by Jesus Christ. And if I'm doing that, then I'm way more likely to be encountered among the wheat and not among the weeds.
Yes, and I think we can also kind of, you know... take this parable, also apply it to ourselves in our own life. And, you know, we live in, we were talking about the culture today. The culture's got a lot of lies. And I mean, traditionally, the enemy is described as being the devil, the flesh, and the world, right? The messaging of the world. And I think also we need to be careful, you know, in thinking about the Darnell that is trying to make its way into our own hearts. And it can be very simple stuff. Right? Because at the end of the day, all the enemy has to do is sprinkle a little glitter on one thing to where we start getting attracted to one thing. We're like, I can't live without that. And all of a sudden, it can become an idol. It could be something stupid like, oh, boy, if only I had this particular car, or something really superficial.
So you're saying, I mean? Glitter is bad.
Glitter, yes.
So don't go to those craft stores. Don't go down the glitter aisle.
Glitter is anathema.
No, glitter is bad, actually.
But you can't vacuum it up.
Now the people from Radioland are going to send glitter bombs to your...
I deserve it.
But at the end of the day, we have to... On one hand, it's easy for us to look out into the world and say, hey, this person is with the Darnell and this group is with the Darnell. But that Darnell comes in many different species, so to speak. Yeah. And it's trying to make its way into our hearts. Mm-hmm. And it can make its way into our hearts in ways that really are not obvious. And so we have to always try to maintain just surrendering all to God the best we can and trying to receive him the best we can, because we can have the life choked out of us by that Darnell sooner than later, and then we can end up being part of the problem and not part of the answer.
100% correct. And that's exactly why we need to always be aware, be wary question everything, test everything according to Scripture, but also according to the tradition, the teaching, the sacred tradition of the church. You know, and then you'll realize, you'll start to see. Sometimes we get deceived. Sometimes we fall into certain traps. But usually, you know, the way it is with me is, you know, I try to live a good life. I really do. And then when something bad happens, or if I do something that is questionable or even bad, I feel it almost immediately. And I think that's that good conscience that is that I try to form with the church. And the more we do that, and the more we surround ourselves by those who are wheat, right? And you can judge them. You know, you can see, you know, by their fruits, you will know them, and you will know goodness, and just align yourself with goodness and be, you know, be affected, be influenced by the goodness. And then good things are going to happen, and you can overcome the weeds, the darnel that try to tempt you and try to lead you into lead you away from the light, coming to you as light. And that's why, you know, turn your back on Lucifer, turn your back on all that is unholy, and cling to that which is holy. And most importantly, be not deceived by the evil one. Be not deceived by the darnel. There's so much competing stuff out there. So much stuff that I think to some of us looks good. Looks like it's an okay thing. But Satan wants no more than just to fool you into thinking that there are good things that are actually bad for you. And so this is what why this parable of the weeds and the wheat is so important to us, that we need not to be deceived by this. We need to know that Jesus loves us, wants the best for us, and always tells us what is good, and we can do no bad by following him. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.